Prologue. Paris, 2004. That was a short flight, I said, peering out the window as the wheels of our plane touched tarmac at Charles de Gaulle. It was amazing how short a flight could be when one was in no particular hurry to arrive at one's destination.
We can go back and do it again, Colin suggested, just to drag it out a bit.
I tilted my head so that my cheek briefly touched his shoulder. At least that's what I'd intended to do. Instead, I head-butted the side of his seat. It's the thought that counts. I knew we should have taken the channel.
Next time, he said,
although both of us knew that there wasn't going to be a next time. At least not for this particular trip. It was purely a one-off, and one on which neither of us had particularly wanted to go. It sounds insane, doesn't it? Anyone would think I should have been delighted at the prospect of a long weekend in Paris with my still new enough to be exciting boyfriend. We could stroll the Champs-Élysées, drink coffee in little cafes, smooch on the platform of the Eiffel Tower. Paris is for lovers. Everyone knows that. Everyone had clearly never been summoned to Paris for a boyfriend's mother's birthday. Some people had birthday parties. Colin's mother was having a birthday weekend. We're not talking your short arrive on Saturday morning, home by Sunday evening type weekend either. The festivities kicked off Friday evening and carried on straight through Sunday night. 3 whole days with Colin's charmingly dysfunctional family was not my idea of a romantic weekend. It was, however, my idea of an Agatha Christie novel. I kept checking over my shoulder for Hercule Poirot. I could just see him twirling his mustache, saying, "Ah, Hastings, such a tragedy about the little American girl. A pity she had to be the first to die." Meeting the parents is nerve-wracking even under normal circumstances. Colin's family could not by any stretch of the imagination be called normal. I couldn't really complain, given that I would never have met Colin if his ancestors had been, well, sane. As a fifth-year graduate student in pursuit of footnotes to eke out my dissertation, my reasons for being in London had been academic rather than amorous. Well, that isn't entirely true. When I came to London, I was in the throes of a doomed love affair with my dissertation topic. Some people are handed their dissertation topics by their advisors. Others choose theirs for practical reasons, such as current trends on the academic job market or easy availability of sources. Not me. I had fallen madly in love with my topic. Aristocratic espionage during the wars with France, 1792 to 1815. The Scarlet Pimpernel, the Purple Gentian, the Pink Carnation. What wasn't to love about dashing rogues in knee breeches, racing back and forth across the Channel, outwitting the dastardly schemes of the French? Ha! If my relationship with my dissertation was a love affair, we're talking one of those gloomy 19th century ones where everyone dies of consumption at the end and there's supposed to be a moral, but you can't quite figure out what it is, other than to make sure to insulate your garret and stay away from large bottles of laudanum. In short, it didn't love me back. The topic was dashing, it was glamorous, it was, insert your own adjective here, but like so many objects of affection, it had proved elusive. Until Colin. Colin's great-great-etc. grandfather had been one of those masked men. Under his chosen fleur de guerre, the Purple Gentian, Lord Richard Selwick, had dashed around Europe in tights, rescuing aristocrats from the clutches of the guillotine. Colin liked to point out that at the time they had been called pantaloons, not tights. But a man in tights is a man in tights, call it what you will. Nothing says buckle and swash like a pair of skin-tight leg coverings. Besides, a man who chooses to name himself after a flower can't be too picky about his pantaloons. Whatever their choice in leg wear, I was very extremely grateful to Colin's flowery ancestors. If they hadn't kept copious journals and letters, I wouldn't be where I was now, with Colin and the rudiments of a dissertation. I certainly wouldn't be in Paris.
Where are we?